I wouldn't believe that. Come on, are you blessed this morning? I'm very thankful for Jesus. Amen. So I got 20 minutes to get done, or half hour to get done what I should get done. I mean, which would normally take me. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just going to go with it. Okay, here we go. We are going through the book of Galatians. This morning, I don't know how much teaching I'm actually going to get done on this, because I feel like I want to just kind of back up a little bit and remind us why we're going where we are going. It's hard for a pastor to see certain people kind of that have been with us a while, kind of all of a sudden you don't see them for a few weeks. A lot of times it's nothing. But there's always this concern in the back of my mind, because it, we were just talking about it right here. You can preach law. I heard it yesterday by a well-intended man. I was listening through the bus seats. Another pastor on our bus. Great guy. I'm going to spend some time with him. We talked a little bit. But I heard it through the bus seats about how that, well, when God starts dealing with the sin in your life, I'm here to announce to you that God already dealt with the sin in your life. And he did it through the work of the cross and Jesus Christ himself. Every time I hear that, I understand what they mean, but what is really being preached and what people are hearing and what is being laid on people is what you got to do to please and appease. Would everybody repeat that with me today? Please and appease God. It is not about doing, it is about receiving. Romans 5:17 says this: death reigned by one. Five different times he says how death came through the first Adam. And the result of that, death being the result of sin, death reigned. But he said, now for those who receive the abundance of grace, everybody say with me, receive. You hear any do in there at all? Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now, if you don't understand that, then you need to hang around. But I'm telling you, the Word of God says, your Bible says nothing about do anything. It says receive what is coming at you. Are you cold, Darlene? Is it cold in here? Can we maybe just turn that? Maybe it might just be this one here, in this room here. So we just need to keep, is it this one right here? Okay. We do. How are you doing in the back? I see people doing this. I'd rather see this, though, because you're wide awake watching. It's when you're hot and you're going, that's when I'm like, okay. So while he's adjusting that, where was that? Romans 5:17 says, for those who receive the abundance of grace. You hear attacks. I'm not going to take the time this morning. I think I did this a few weeks back. But you hear attacks on the hyper grace. Now it's the hyper grace gospel. Just like you hear about prosperity gospel, and you hear about the faith gospel, and you hear, and people like to label and nominalize and just, you know, and this becomes a popular thing to do. So now the gospel of grace, which is a misnomer completely, the gospel is the announcement of the grace of God. All right, that's Bible, straight up. We have those that are talking about hyper grace. They don't read their own Bibles instead of their own Bibles, because the actual literal Greek definition is super hyper grace. Look at it yourself. What he's saying is that God's love towards us had nothing to do with anything we did or could ever do. It is all about his love for us. That is Bible. That's not watered down gospel. That's not watered down anything. That is the Bible. He loved us. All right? God at times has had to be a God of. How many know there is a time to be angry and sin not? How many know there are things that it's okay to hate, like evil? Not people, but evil, religion, I like that. God is a God of justice, therefore it is needful for Him to be a God of judgment. Thank God He judged our sin in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read your Bible, Ephesians 2, 14. I'm not going to go there right now. You can write these down. And Ephesians 2, 15 makes it very clear that Jesus was nailed together with all of the handwriting of ordinance, a specific reference to the law. No different, same writer, 2 Corinthians 3, that which was written in stone and everything around it was nailed to the tree together with Him, with His body. Everything that was against us was done away through the work of His blood. That's pretty awesome. It's not about anything you do. Somebody said, and I agree. I was talking to somebody this last week, and we're going to talk about this more later, but the issue of it always comes up, and I understand why. The issue of repentance came up. Repentance. Huh? Means literally in the Greek, I think it's metanoia, change your mind. Now the difference between the repentance of John and repentance that we know now through the new covenant in Jesus is repentance is a result of the goodness of God versus repenting to qualify for the goodness of God. Whew, so close, yet so far away. Most of the church is preaching the gospel of John the Baptist. Repent and be baptized, and then. Look at the book of Acts. Look at the Gospels. You see a completely different conversation. You see, for example, in Mark chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, Jesus speaking how that any man who believes in Him and what He preaches can speak to a mountain, and if they don't doubt, obviously not speaking to a physical mountain. How many have mountains in your life? How many have things that loom high? How many have issues in your life that seem, they're casting a shadow on your world. They seem insurmountable. It's as impossible in your mind as a literal physical mountain. And yet the Bible says it begins with your mouth. And you simply believing what He said. He was speaking to not yet born again, hairy-legged disciples. Saying, if you will speak what you believe in your heart and say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And you believe what you say and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe what you say. You'll have whatever you say. And then He goes on to say a few more things. He talks about how to receive that. You've spoken. The mountain still appears to be there. Have you ever figured that out? Most of the time, you speak, it's like nothing happened. Oh, easy. He just got through showing them how this works. He cursed a fig tree, and nothing changed. It wasn't until the following day, Peter piped up and said, look, Lord, the tree that you cursed back then appears to be dead. And then the scripture reveals how. For it had dried from the roots. When you believe God's word and you speak His word in the unseen, if you believe, something begins to take place. We see examples of people in the ministry of Jesus who were not yet born again. They were not disciples. There were two Gentiles, a centurion and a Syrophoenician woman, who were heathen Gentiles. And it was of them that Jesus marveled at their faith No understanding of the law at all. They simply believed that he was who he said he was. Pretty amazing stuff. So without any law, without any knowledge of the law, they put their faith, they could know and feel the presence of God, the love of God, and they responded to that and saw miracles take place in their life. And Jesus hadn't even died on the cross yet. These were not born again people. They simply believed in the goodness of God. How many of you, before you were saved, can look back and think, in lost and in sin and in darkness and blown it every time you turned around, can look back and see the faithfulness of God? How that in spite of your mess, he still demonstrated his love. It is amazing to me how good he is. How many can say with me, for the Lord is good? That is not watered down gospel. That's the truth that we're missing. He is good and his mercy endures forever. If I can get you confident in your relationship with Jesus, in spite of your mess currently, you will begin to think more about him, to spend more time, to talk to him, to practice his presence, knowing that even in your current mess and failure and sin, and this really ruffles people's religion, but let's just go ahead and do it. There will be more confidence, if you have more confidence, as the result of that will be man, if he really does receive me the way I am, loves me the way I am, sees me through the work of Jesus. Oh, we love, us religious people, we love to talk about, oh, he sees us through Jesus, but we don't treat each other that way. I see who you are. You need to get your life right. That's the reason your life sucks, is because you're a mess. You do and everything. Stop. This is, religion has done this enough. Somewhere along the line, we have to embrace the truth of the gospel. What am I saying? That because grace abounds, we should sin all the more so that it would abound more? God forbid! But we got to realize the importance. This gospel, this thing of going through the book of Galatians, Paul was concerned about some things. Turn with me one more time to Galatians chapter 1. Is this talking to you at all? I hope so. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, and I have a few things that I want to share just to kind of, I'm not going to teach so much, as just kind of make sure, reorient us, make sure we know why we're doing what we're doing. I started to say a little while ago, you know, people that attend here, listen, I've offered a question, an email. It's called questions@cvfamilychurch.org. I've made it clear this is not for personal communication. This is not to ask me a question that I'm going to answer you. I'm not going to do that. This is for you to let me know where you have some questions. And I invite you to get on there. You got a question about what we're talking about, because I don't want anybody to get lost behind. I want to read those things and kind of take that into account. Questions@cvfamilychurch.com. I think, do we have it up? There it is right there, .com. This is not a communicate with Pastor Lee. I've got other emails for that. This is simply for me to see if there's a question. I would invite you to do it anonymously, or you can put your name. I don't care. If there's any personal communication, I'm not going to respond. If you got 3 pages of trying to fix me and straighten me out, I'm not going to read past the first 2 or 3 paragraphs. But if you have an honest question about where we're going and why, I'd love to see it, because I'm going to take that into account. I don't want anybody to get left behind. But I can't dance around this message anymore. It's the center of what we believe. It scares me as a pastor, I'll be honest with you, because so many people misunderstand. They hear a few things spoken, and they hear a few things said, and they don't understand because we all, remember when we started on this journey of Galatians, we talked about filters. And so many of us have filters, and we don't hear what's being said. We hear what's being said through our filters, and by the time it gets through the filters, many times I hear repeated back to me what, well, the reason we blah, 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 and disagree is because you said, or we heard him say that, and I didn't say that at all. So I want to invite you to, sound offensive? That's exactly how Paul sounds in Galatians. He is defending the gospel because there are those that have come in and tried to, quote, balance the message of grace. And he is very concerned. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And just so you have an idea of where we're going, Galatians 3 says, "O you foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, deceived you, that you should obey the truth, that you should not obey the truth exactly. Excuse me, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." We talked about this last week. I believe, along with Brother Womack, that he preached the gospel so clearly that they were like literally, through his preaching and through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the anointing, they were literally getting a picture, a living picture of Jesus crucified for them and what it meant. And then he goes on to say, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now, he's not speaking of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. When we are born again, how are we born again? Paul says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ, that Jesus, was raised from the dead, you will be saved. He didn't say you had to turn over a new leaf. He didn't say you had to stop a certain list of things and start a whole new list of things in your life. He didn't say anything like that. What he said was, if you confess with your mouth a heart belief that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Period. Done. 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus..." How do you get in Christ? We just told you, Romans 10, 9 and 10. How do you get in Christ? Romans 10, 9 and 10. We just talked about it. Confessing with your mouth, a heart belief. When we do that, the Bible says that you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says very clearly, "Therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ," anyone is in Christ, "they are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things, as far as God is concerned, what he's looking at, the new you on the inside," Paul says in Ephesians, by the way, "sealed by the Holy Spirit, until the day of redemption." I don't care what your theology, read your Bible. Sealed. I'm very glad for that. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That obviously is not your outside, your exterior. That obviously is not your behavior. How many of you, your behavior changed when you got born again? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Your behavior did change. Why? Because you got a new heart. And it has an effect. But what was it that changed? You believe that God loved you. Believing that He is Lord is contingent on this. You heard the gospel, and the gospel let you know that in your mess, in your trouble, in your struggle, and listen, it all isn't about, when we preach like this, it all sounds like I'm after the ones here that are living in sin. And now we got to define what it is. Let me tell you, Paul defines sin in Romans 14 as whatever is not of faith. So if you think I'm talking about just not drinking, not smoking, not running around with those that do, listen, every one of us in here fall short. Get over you and your religion and get your eyes back on Jesus. But let me tell you something. Because you believed that somebody loved you just like you are, it caused a change in you, and you wanted to give back. The result of a transformed life happens because of a revelation of the love of God through His Son, Jesus. And when that love, Romans 5:5 says the result of that is that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. The result of that is that I want to behave in a way that pleases Him. How many know that is a wonderful response? It is a terrible tool to try to get more out of God. That's what religion immediately does. And that's why many of you had a little honeymoon in Jesus. Man, He was there. You believed Him. He loved you. Every prayer you had seemed to be answered. But somebody was going to come along and pour water on your fire because they were going to tell you, look, you got in like that, but now it's up to you to stay in. The love of God revealed caused you for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. You were not trying to do stuff to get more out of God. Love transformed you, and you wanted to give back. You wanted to love others. You didn't want to hate anymore. You didn't want to do the same things. You weren't comfortable in the same places. I know young ladies that got saved and they'd never been around any kind of standard. They changed the way they dressed. You'll never hear us preach that. Now, we'll tell our leaders, do this so that we don't offend and create confusion. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not my job to clean you up or my job to tell you where you need to go or what movies you shouldn't go to or where you should, whatever. I believe I must preach the Word, trust the Holy Spirit in you to lead you. And if you're listening, see, the more legalism gets involved, the more fences are erected, and you don't have to listen. You just doggedly bang into fences and go in the direction that the law points you to go. You don't have to think. You don't have to listen. And that's a problem. That's a major problem. That's what religion is. Corrals and gates and fences and whips driving you. I'm so glad that I was set free from the corrals, set out on an open plain with the Holy Spirit on the inside, with freedom given to me to see new heights, new places, new pastures in Jesus. But see, religion says, well, you got in here because of love, but now you better love. And they start quoting the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, and with all thy... And you gotta so that God will. That's the law. It's a wonderful law. It points towards a goal, the perfect righteousness of God. But you, through your doing, can never get there. And that's what this little book is all about. And Paul's pretty fired up about it, if you didn't notice. Verse 4, 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, you're now made perfect in the flesh. What he's saying is this, and I'll prove it to you. Are you so foolish that having begun in faith, you now think that through doing works, you will keep it? Let me tell you something. The fruit of the Spirit is called fruit, not works. When you walk by faith, faith in what? Faith in His grace. It will produce. How do you have that? It's through a revelation of the love of God. It will produce fruit, not works. The fruit of the Spirit will produce good works. That's why James could say, you tell me you have faith, show me your works. He's not talking about works of the law or works of the flesh. He's talking about works of faith. We'll get to that in just a little bit more, but I want to finish up what I'm saying right here. So this thing of, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you're now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Miracles. Now, just so that you're not worried about where we're going, take your Bible, and we're here in the book of Galatians, jump over to, you may not have to, it might be right across your page, look at 3:11, which says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Jump down a little bit further where it says, verse 12, the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. Paul said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Is Paul saying the law is sin? Absolutely not. What he's saying is, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if you're trying to use the law to please God, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That is sin. Paul in Philippians 3 says, he doesn't even name sin. He talks about what a righteous man he was in the law. He said, I was a Jew of the first order, circumcised on the eighth day. Concerning the law and the practice of it, I was perfect. But in there, he admits that his self-righteousness was as filthy rags. He considered it dung. Another place he talks about filthy rags. Here he talks about it dung. And he said, I was confronted by something called, I'm paraphrasing, righteousness by faith. Righteous. Do you consider yourself, if you're born again in here, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand or answer that question, but if you've put your faith in Jesus, the Bible says there's a new you on the inside. Oh, Pastor Lee, if you knew the stuff I've done and said and the way I behave, you know what? And you're here because there's a war. There's a battle. The outside isn't lining up with who you are. And it's hard. It was easier to behave the way you do before you got born again. But now, you get angry at somebody and you hold a grudge. Or cursings are spewed forth out of your mouth. There was a time when it just led to more, but now there's a war. Why? Because I'm here to declare to you, if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you reached out to Him, something happened on the inside of you. And I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. You smell different now in the Spirit. And it's confusing to a world that says, wait a minute, something about Him, but the outside's confusing. You hear the world say, hypocrite. You hear other people say, that's why I don't go to church. Why all the confusion? I'll tell you why all the confusion. Mostly the church's fault. We're not preaching the gospel. We're preaching whatever we got to do to help God clean people up so we can run our programs and build our churches and take up offerings and look good. Please don't stop giving. I like to eat too. We got a kids' church over here that needs to be completed. We'll talk about that. But I'll tell you what, the manipulation that goes on through legalism is gross. And it abounds all around us. All right? Look at what he says here. Jump down a little bit further. 24. I'm just going to show you where we're going so you don't lose sight. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. 24 of chapter 3. The law was, everybody say with me, was. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us under Christ that we might be justified by faith. It had a purpose. It was to bring me to the end of myself and to bring me to a place in Jesus. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Did you read that? Who are you arguing with? Not me. Look at your Bible. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, I'm not going to go there now, but I'm going to show you the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking after the flesh. It's probably not what many of you have been taught. We'll take the religious wraps off of it and let you see that it's still about faith and works. Chapter 5, look quickly with me there. Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, this is code for law. Anything you do to please and appease. Okay? Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is under the law, circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. How many have heard all your life when somebody backslides, they go back into sin, they go back, that they've fallen from grace? This says the opposite. This says when you stop believing that you are righteous by faith and you go back to doing, to please and appease, you have fallen from grace. There's nobody in here that is perfect in their own right or merit, including Mr. Shaw. We elevate pastors to a place that they themselves can't keep up. Your walk with Jesus is not contingent on me and woman. My job is to preach the Word, to do what I can through the Word to feed and protect. But I am not in control of your life. I don't hear from God for you. I am not your Savior. I'm not your mediator. I'm here to help us together see Jesus, the ultimate and only mediator. Who didn't stand between us and God, but he actually showed us the Father. That's the gospel. Man, I hate that clock. Will you let me finish? Because Evelyn took so much of my time. That's really bad. Blame it on a sweetheart. She had permission. It's okay. Chapter 4 shows that if you got law and grace living in the same household, there's adultery going on and it doesn't work. And he calls them Sarah and Hagar. You don't know what I'm talking about? Hang around, you will. 5. Go all the way down. Let me get back up. I don't want to miss. There was one place in here that I was wanting to make sure that we didn't miss. Verse 25, let's give you a little peek. And this bouncing off of where he says in, let's see, where is it? In verse 13, he says, "My brethren, you've been called unto liberty," that is freedom. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Don't use your liberty and your righteousness to then just go do whatever and it's okay. Just because God sees you through Jesus doesn't mean that sin doesn't hurt. But listen, I'm here to tell you that when you sin, it does not change God's love for you one little bit. He's not embarrassed. He didn't leave you. He didn't turn his back on you. He didn't change his ability to answer your prayer. He is right there just as real and close as he ever was. And that religion hates. I believe that if you could get a hold of that, you would start living more for God and looking like that more by accident than you ever did when you were trying to live up to a standard that you always failed at. I know you've heard me say this repeated over and over again, but how many in here would admit you heard it over and 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 over again until you heard it? I don't know how else to say it, he stinking loves you so much right where you are right now. The key is not you trying to do something else so that God will do something more, but receiving, believing, and standing in that, and watch as you begin to meditate on him, have confidence to be around him, have confidence to recognize his presence there. And when you're doing that, it changes behavior. Somebody else is not going to change your behavior. Guilt is not going to change your behavior. Guilt will drive your behavior deeper. Condemnation, a fear of punishment from God, is the root of the perpetual cycle of sin. The only thing that breaks that is the power of the revelation of the love of God. Can you lift your hands up all over the room today? I don't care who you are. We've had more people over the last few months get born again by accident. I mean, that's a contradiction in terms. But how many can thank him for his love? I don't care who you are, how well you have or haven't lived this. The key to your rising above your failure is confidence in Jesus. How we love you today. Let me finish up my thought here. So 13, he says, don't use this freedom as an excuse for sin. And he talks about why. In Galatians 5, he talks about the works of the flesh that are manifest when we try to do it ourselves and sin just unravels. Sin hurts. The Bible has made it clear. You live with somebody before you're married, you're opening up a world of hurt. But God still loves you. Come on. Some of you in here, you hear that and you go, easy, Pastor Lee, you're going to give people a license. They already have a license. You think you and me are going to change that by going, you should be. They already know that. What they need to know is that God in the middle of that still loves you somewhere. The hope of the gospel's got to get. Is it wrong? Absolutely. Are the results of it bad? Absolutely. But you're and my trying to manage through law and guilt and constraint. They don't work. We need people in this church. We've got a town that needs to know the love of God. But we need believers that can get over all of their past hurts. I was abused in nursery. I was an usher for 40 years, and they never let me out of the desert. I was this, and I was that. Now, all the reason I'm busy, and I'm that. We need people who can commit and discipline themselves to key ministries that can reach out. But you know what? We'll never do it as long as we're hanging on to past hurts and failures and using that as an excuse for why we can't jump in and get coming. I see this as a key to saying, freedom, you do have. Now, I don't have enough time to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. So if you want to leave right now, you're dismissed. I will not be mad at you. I'll see you here next Sunday. I love you. Thank you for coming. But I've got to get this out. John chapter 16, verse 17 says some radical things. Look at it. It says, those that believe in my name. How many in here believe in the name of Jesus? I tell these stories, and after a while I know familiarity and Pastor Lee, and we've never seen that, and it was when he was young on a mission field, maybe he didn't remember. I'm telling the honest truth. I've seen cataracts come right off eyes in Honduras. Well, Pastor Lee, I had cataracts, and you prayed for me to come off my eyes. I don't have an answer for that. What I do know is what the Bible says and what the truth is, and I'm going to keep preaching the truth. I've also seen miracles right here. I also know between my prayer and the person listening, there is a connection and agreement, and sometimes there's a lack of understanding. Doesn't mean something's wrong with you or that God's holding back from you, but He responds to faith. I've seen blind eyes, literally, me, your pastor, right here, blind eyes open. New bones put in place. I don't talk about it a lot. There's a time for it. Because it can come across like, I'm telling you something that's available to you. This ain't for some slick-haired dude with a suit, coat, and tie up front. This is for they that believe in my name. And the first thing it says, listen, this is your Bible. Are you looking at it? Mark chapter 11, verse 16. What does it say? They that believe in my name, first order up, not real seeker-friendly, for the seeker-friendly churches, worried about offending people and people getting scared not coming back to your church. Right straight up front. If Jesus said it, can you say it this morning? If Jesus said it, I believe it. They that believe in my name will cast out devils. You have a picture of a guy who's walking perfectly with God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's the only way that can get done. I want to show you a picture of a guy I know that was in the Philippines who was raised Baptist in a backslidden condition, actually with a lady of the night who, upon returning from a very dubious situation, heard a gurgling noise. This is in Manila, Philippines. And turned around, and his wife Thea was pinned up on a wall 8 feet high, gurgling and unable to catch her breath, nothing holding her there but seemingly air. He said, Pastor Lee, that day in my fallen, ungodly, sinful state, he said, that fast, the Spirit of God took me back to a childhood prayer when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, right then I had no one to turn to. There was nobody to go to. But he said, I invoked the name of Jesus as a rotten, filthy, and this is his own thing. And he said, in the name of Jesus, let go of her. And his wife, Thea, who I know personally, fell off that wall and hit the ground. You know what the result of that was? They got their fannies in church. She ended up getting saved, filled with the Spirit. They came to the Lord and began to live for God after that time. That is exact opposite of what religion preaches. My Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My Bible says, they that believe in my name will cast out devils. Maybe the reason you're struggling so much is that you believe because of your failure that you've got no right to speak up. I'm telling you, God loves you. If you've confessed Him as your Lord, He lives on the inside of you. He's waiting for you to do business while you're waiting on Him. He's done His work in Jesus. Why don't you open up your own mouth and clean house? That's repentance. Is that making sense? Boy, that's a dangerous message because it would take me another hour to qualify some things I've said. I'm not saying sin is okay. The truth is they got turned around. They didn't stay there. But it was the goodness of God and faithfulness to His Word, even when they were failures in sin, He still honored His Word. And somebody could be sitting there saying, oh, you better be careful. You better never talk to the devil unless you've got... Really, I got a question for you. Shall we open up everybody's closet here this morning and find that one without sin? Or should we just get off that? And thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I look at that, the more in that direction I go. The more I look to Him, the more in that direction I go. Paul is screaming, did I do miracles? By deeds of the flesh? Or did I do them by faith in Jesus Christ? Paul goes on to say, be careful. Don't use this as an excuse for sin. That's not fun. That's hell on earth. There's nothing fun about that. But I want to point you to another verse before we go. Verse 25 of chapter 5. Kind of give you an idea of the direction we're going with this conversation in the book of Galatians. Are you enjoying the book of Galatians? Listen to what he says. This is shocking. This word right here is shocking. If we live in the Spirit, he's not casting a doubt on that. What he's saying is if you put your faith in Jesus and you belong to Him, he's saying if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. What? What? So, read it backwards. You can live in the Spirit but not walk. Is that what it said, Darlene? I'll show you where in the Spirit does not mean what a lot of Pentecostalism has declared it to be. In the Spirit is living daily in the faith that what Jesus did was enough for me today and tomorrow, today again, and the next day, today again. So if we live in that faith, let us also walk like we believe what He has made possible in us. Religion says, do and then you'll get. The gospel says, you put your faith in Jesus, you have now. Trust me by my grace to help you walk this out. I'm out of time, but I can't quit. I want you to hear this. They that believe in my name will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Jesus said it. What are you afraid of tongues for? Oh, such and such a church across the town. Okay, so they went way out of... Listen, a counterfeit is proof that there's a real. Do you see us swinging off the chandeliers and letting that go crazy? No, but you know what? You better be careful when you attack that because Jesus said there is a power of the Holy Spirit that causes another language to flow, and it's for every believer. He says that He'll protect you. He says, you drink any deadly thing, it'll not harm you. Talks about us treading on serpents and scorpions right on down the line. And in the end, He says, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I don't have time right now. Maybe we'll do it next week. The same book. I mean, moving to a different book. Gospel of John. John says in John 14, greater things shall you do in my name. John says in 15 and 16, whatever you ask the Father, listen, I don't care who you are in here this morning. You got some problems? When we dismiss today, I'm going to remain up here for a few others. We want to agree with you in prayer. We believe that when we pray that God moves, He's here, He loves you. This isn't about you getting your life right. This is about you recognizing who He is. We'd love to aid in that. Because outside of Him, we're all broken equally. John said, "In greater things shall you do in my name." What greater things? Everything that He did. Healing the sick. Raising the dead. Walking in victory, all of those things, greater thing. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Have you asked the Father anything? Have you been bold and opened your mouth about your situation? Have you for yourself? You know what holds us back? We feel unworthy. We feel that we don't measure up. Because we've been fed lies that tell us, we got to fix us before God can do anything. I'm telling you, if we could fix us, what would we need a Savior for? I've heard it around here. I know. I want to preach on healing. I want to talk more about the Holy Ghost. I'm praying about what we could do maybe on a Sunday night or whatever. I'd love it. I love it. I hear it. But listen, if we don't get this down, we're resetting a course as a church. If we don't get this nailed down in the middle, we'll still be doing to deserve. And I'm telling you, it's nothing about deserve. It's respond. I wanted to talk to you today about John. We'll do it next Sunday morning. John, who revealed the love of the Father, repeatedly said, I'll show it to you, referred to himself as I, John, the apostle, or the disciple, or a reference to the disciple whom there was there with them, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus loved them all the same, but John got it. I want to help you get it. I want to help me get it with you. Well, there you go. 50 minutes. I didn't do horrible. Did you get anything out of that? I hope it's encouraging and lifting you. The God of religion is mean. I want to tell you that He's real. His love is real. His power is real. Proverbs 3:5, parting shot. Trust in the Lord. Would you stand this morning all over the room? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on, people of God. Lean not to your own way of thinking. Acknowledge Him today, and He will direct your paths. Father, today for your people, for everyone in this house, man, woman, boy, and girl, Father, I thank you for a continued revelation of the love of God through Jesus. A laying down of those things called filthy rags and a picking up of your great love for us. Father, I thank you that your word is true. I've watched it. But in here, we have people standing all around in this room as much as we've talked about grace, and they're tentative about them going to a neighbor and saying, did you know that Jesus bore our stripes for your healing? I'd like to pray for you. We're afraid to. Why? Unworthiness. We're a little afraid to bring up the conversation because, well, after all, Pastor Lee, I've got some struggles in my own life. Oh, do you? Well, are you preaching you or are you preaching Jesus? I don't know anybody in here that doesn't have a struggle. And we hold back because of this truth. This is why Paul was so fired up. Who has bewitched you that having begun responding to the love of God, by faith, think that you're going to continue by doing good things to get more. How many are glad today that what he did was enough? Come on, all over the room. Father, I thank you for a Holy Ghost boldness that begins to descend on this congregation. Come on, are you here this morning? I hope you haven't checked out yet. A Holy Ghost boldness. Hebrews speaks of entering into the presence of God with boldness because of the blood, not what you do. The shed blood of Jesus. Father, for a Holy Ghost boldness upon your people, not waiting for somebody else. Because of a confidence in Father, come on, somebody in here needs to say it with me this morning. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you say with me this morning, Philippians 2:13, God, shout it out with me. Some of you in here need to hear yourself say it. God is working in me, both to will and to do. I don't even know what brought me here. I don't even know why I'm hanging around, but something in me is just going, more. Say with me, God is working in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In Jesus' name. Altars are open as we continue to worship. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. I hope you write these scriptures down, meditate on them. Bring somebody with you next week. Let's see our area change through the love of God. Can you say amen? God bless you. Go have a wonderful week in Jesus. Let's worship.